We're making use of all those.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, and also let's not forget.
I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father. I love to praise your holy name, Abba Father.
This is Prophetess Mwaka from Dallas, Texas, where all the good-looking people live. Well, it's another exciting, enriching Tuesday. You never know what's going to happen on Solutions. And after last Tuesday, I know we are ready for another wonderful, unforgettable time. We were so blessed by our wonderful Auntie Sylvia Litana Robertson, all the way from the beautiful Maryland. Oh, my goodness, my phone was blowing up. People were falling off their chairs, booking her for their weddings and bridal showers. A great, great impact. And so we said we got to do a part two. But before I welcome our wonderful Auntie Sylvia once again, let me just welcome you listeners, those of you who are joining us for the first time. We are on every Tuesday, 10 p.m. Central Time. We've been on now for almost a year and a half, talking about love, relationships, and marriage from a biblical point of view. We have a heart to see young people make the right decisions, and we have a desire to see strong marriages, happy romantic marriages. And we thank God for the many different speakers that have come from different nations: Nigeria, Ghana, Zimbabwe, Zambia, Congo, Kenya, Uganda, America, you name it. And it's amazing. It all boils down to one thing. Every single one of us have been created by God to be loved, to be respected, to be appreciated, to be valued. Relationships are important to everyone. I mean, you can have three PhDs, but if you have no one to share your life with, then, I mean, you know, life becomes so empty. You can be a multimillionaire, but if you have no one to enjoy those millions with you, life becomes empty. So it's been very enriching. Just a great journey of discovery, and it's a dialogue, it's a discussion. We love to hear your questions, listeners, so please don't be shy. Do call in and ask the question, because when you are asking on behalf of so many. Our page is on Facebook, Solutions Radio. Please like our page And do tell others about this program. I believe you've been impacted, you've been transformed, you've been challenged. Every single time we get on, we all learn something new. So share about Solutions with someone before we invite our wonderful speaker. We are preparing for our 10th annual Spring Prophetic Conference. It's also going to be a ministry celebration, the prophetic ministry that God birthed through me 10 years ago in Boston, Massachusetts. And it is just amazing to see what God has done and the many, many lives impacted and marriages strengthened and businesses birthed and churches birthed. I mean, it's testimony after testimony. And all this is going to be taking place April the 17th to the 20th. Right here in beautiful Dallas, Texas, we are inviting you all to come and celebrate, and it is free, F-R-E-E-E, it is free. Last year, I know we charged, we were in a very expensive hotel, but this year we said because it's a celebration, we want to reach out to many more people, so the conference is free. The only thing that is not free is the Saturday breakfast. And right now, the early bird registration is only $35. I believe everybody in America can afford $35. That is the early bird registration. For this month, it is going to go up March 1st. So if I were you, I would book your seat at a very, very wonderful breakfast at the Sheraton Hotel. With a powerful, powerful speaker. We have an incredible, incredible panel of speakers, very outstanding, very distinguished, just such a success in their own right. You don't want to miss any of them. We have our very own Dr. Nervous Mumba from the great nation of Zambia. We are so excited for this privilege to host me. He's a prolific and a profound man of God with just great grace, not just in the kingdom, but also in the secular world. He's highly respected. He's made a great impact also in our political aspect of our nation. He's been our vice president. He's also been an ambassador to Canada. And so he also reaches a whole different arena of people. We also have Prophetess Beverly Angel from the beautiful nation, our neighboring nation, Zimbabwe. And we put a clip on Facebook yesterday, and already we are at 1,500 views, and our inboxes are being flooded. People are just blessed by her ministry. And, of course, those who know her are coming from London, from everywhere. You don't want to miss this phenomenal, phenomenal woman of God, prophet of God, very deep, very solid, and very authentic. And, of course, also Prophetess Sarah Morgan, powerhouse earthquake woman of God for Jesus from California. She's always a speaker at our conference. And the beauty with all these people, there's just a grace and an anointing that they all carry. And, of course, we have Bishop Eli Jacobs, who has such a heart to see the body coming together, Caucasians, African-Americans, Africans, and he's a great, great man of God. And, of course, we have my wonderful Apostle Darius. He will be ministering, Prophetess Mwaka. She'll be ministering, and the music is going to be awesome. Brenda Ellis from the Potter's House will be there. Lady Benita Atterbury from the Daystar Singers will be there. Lots of just wonderful, wonderful things. We give out gifts all the time, and this conference will be giving out gifts to the people who come from, or rather the biggest delegation. So if it's Seattle, say 30 people come from Seattle, we'll bless them with some wonderful gifts. Or if it's California, or if it's Washington, D.C., or Boston. So it's going to be fun. Not just great preaching and anointed music, but many surprises, and you just don't want to miss. So April the 17th to the 20th, put it in your calendar. You can go and register for the breakfast on our website, www.fresharomaministry.org. Again, if you have just tuned in, this is Prophetess Mwaka from Dallas, Texas, with your favorite radio show on love, relationships, and marriage right here on Zambia Blog Talk Radio. Well, let the drum roll. The woman of God is here. The lady who's not afraid to call a spade a spade. Oh, my goodness. If you're one of those who blush, you are going to blush. But that's all right. She speaks the truth with so much love. In Zambia, we call her Wanachimbusa or Alangizi. That's a marriage counselor, a teacher, one who prepares people for marriage. And I tell you, I respect this woman of God. She has such a grace for relationships. She was telling me she has matchmaked about 20 couples and they are still married. I tell you, this woman, everything she touches turns to gold. She's a very successful entrepreneur. I mean, just a go-getter, a woman of action, just an incredible woman of God. There's just, you cannot be dull in her presence. You cannot be depressed in her presence. She just motivates you, inspires you to go for the gold and reach for the stars. If you've seen her, she's absolutely captivatingly beautiful. I know when she walks down the street, the wolf whistles her from the 16-year-olds to the 60-year-olds. Well, what can I say? Auntie Sylvia, are you on Solutions this evening?
Yes, I am. Good evening, Prophetess.
Good evening and a very warm welcome to you, my dear.
Wow, that announcement, you're making me blush. You know, I'm a very bold person that doesn't blush, but when you give me such accolades, I don't know which way to look now.
Now it's your turn to blush, huh?
Yes, it is. Well, good evening, listeners. Good morning, good afternoon, whichever part of the world you are in. It's good to be on the Zambia Block Talk Radio Show again tonight. For those of you who missed last week, I guess you can still catch up a little bit with the little love that I shared with you last week with regards to love, marriage, and the three-letter word, sex. I got a few hits on my Facebook, not a few, quite a bit of hits on my Facebook, by the way. About 30 of you asked to befriend me, and of course I did befriend all of you, and I got quite a few questions from you all, and I think I'll address one or two of those at the end of the show. But Prophetess Mwaka, there's a question that you asked me. Somebody brought to my attention that you asked me a question that they believe I eluded and did not answer. So I would like to start with that, if you don't mind.
Not at all. Let me just say, for those of you who are tuning in, you know, one of the reasons I have Auntie Sylvia on is we are family friends, but you know how America gets so busy. So we reconnected last August. She was a matron at a bridal shower in Zambia. We call it a kitchen party. And what really touched me is the hope and the passion in which she was teaching the new bride. You know, many people are very negative about marriage and just pessimistic and just, oh, men are the same, men are dogs. But what I loved about you, Auntie Sylvia, is, you know, you were so, you got everybody's attention. Nobody was texting. Nobody was going out of the room. I mean, that is how captivating you are. And it's not just being a good speaker, but I love the fact that you're so modern, so professional, so executive, yet so old-fashioned. You know, you really believe in a woman being a woman and a man being a man. And, you know, considering the family you come from, you've lived abroad for so many years, I just love that about you, that old-fashioned you. But yet in the corporate world, I mean, you're this mover and shaker. How can we reconcile the two? Because so many professional women find it so hard to cook, and, you know, they're not really enjoying their marriages, and they're like, well, it has to be 50-50. And yes, it's a partnership and a teamwork, but, you know, a woman is an atmosphere changer. And so when you are helping Auntie Lillian Baller's daughter, I just loved everything you said to her. Basically, you are instilling in women, let's be proud of who we are. Let's not forget our heritage. You know, let's take time, cook properly, be clean. So speak to us about that. How do we mesh the two, being in a Western world where with no maid, professional, educated, but still being, you know, taking that responsibility as wives?
Well, the first thing I'd like to say is the only way you can mesh the two is, first of all, you have to know how to time manage yourself. That's number one. If you are a scatterbrain and you don't know what comes first, second, third, and fourth, you will never manage your life at all. It doesn't matter which way you try to tongue twist it or turn it, it's not going to work. I may be a modern woman. I may be educated. I may be this and that in the corporate world. But believe me, when I'm in my home, that man knows he's got a woman in the house. I don't care how beautiful, how, like you said, 10, 50 PhDs or degrees or whatever it is I have, whether the man in my life has a degree or not, the first thing I have to do is honor that man and respect him. I had shared with you last week and said, the first time I went on my knees to serve this man, I mean, that man was just floored. He couldn't even eat his food. It's not necessarily that you have to do that every day. There's also another way. I think the right English word is to genuflect. Like when you go before the queen, you don't really kneel all the way down on your knees. But there's like a curtsy. That too shows respect. That too shows respect, especially from an African man's perspective. Now, I am modern, but I'm very old at heart. And the reason I'm very old at heart is we had a mother who believed in culture so badly to a point where, as beautiful and gorgeous as our mother was, she was very elegant, very statuous. And she was a woman of substance who, were like you say, when she walked into a room, you had no choice but to turn and look at this woman. Now, I looked at her and I said, if this woman can manage to be as beautiful as she is, elegant, statuous, she's a mother, she's a wife, she's a grandmother, she had her own sewing factory where she had so many people working under her. But yet when she was home, she would always tell us, this 1 hour, don't come upstairs because it's time for mom and dad. She had to take care of my father, her husband. For me, that was something like putting a nail into the wall, you know, in the center of the wall. Because my father was a politician. A busy man to a point where you had to make an appointment to see my father. But yet, the moment he was home, mom's world stood still when that man walked in. And so did we, because we had to honor our father as a father. We had to do what mom asked us for him. Now, most of young ladies today want to compete with a man. It's never going to happen. You know, there was a girl who called me, I think, a few weeks ago, and she says to me, well, she said, I'm not going to say the complaints because some of you might know who she is, but I'll just tell you, she complained bitterly about the husband and how he does this and how he does that and how she wants to be on top because she makes more money than him. I said, okay, let me ask you a question. When you go to the bathroom to go and pee, if you and your husband are standing in the bathroom and you want to go and pee, normally the man will stand up, right? She goes, yes. And you have to sit down, she says, yes. When you're outside, it's the same thing, correct? I said, all right. You can't pee a yard away from yourself, can you? She looks at me and she says, well, what's that supposed to mean? I said, precisely. This man is advanced, is a step ahead of you in everything that we do as women. We were made from that man. So everything that we do or everything that we capture comes off of that man first. Therefore, you honor that man first, then he will honor you and give you a position as the wife or the woman in the house. You can't expect a man to propose to marry you when every day you're trying to compete with that man. How? Because the man knows, the Nigerians call it wahala. The man knows that the minute he puts that ring on your finger, oh boy, sorry, he will never have peace in his house. But the minute you humble yourself as a woman, believe me, even the chores in the home, like you're saying, the meshing of being a wife, the meshing of being a mother, the meshing of being a corporatician and so forth, that becomes very easy because you know why? When the man sees you struggle or when the man sees you fret or the man sees you get tired, about 60% of these men will jump in and say, well, what can I do to help you? Or he'll ask you, can I vacuum the house for you? Or he'll say, can I do the dishes for you? Or let me do the laundry. Or you do the laundry, let me fold them. But if you become mouthy, like Auntie Sylvia, every day you want to call that man names and slam doors in his face and suck your teeth when you see him, guess what? He's going to put his feet up, leave one shoe here, leave another shoe in the kitchen, leave his underwear in the bathroom, leave his shirt in the living room, and what are you going to say about it? You're going to cry your eyes out every day yelling and screaming, and guess what? He goes in one ear and out the other ear because he's used to you yelling and screaming. For you to get, they say in Bemba, meaning when you want to get something from somebody, don't puff and huff yourself. Humble yourself. When you humble yourself, the person that you are trying to get something from normally will stop and say, wait a minute, look at her. And she's not even crying or fussing about the stuff. She's literally on her knees asking me for the thing, so why can't I come through for her? But the minute you want to flex your muscles, ladies out there, to try to compete with a man, hey, God help you. That man will make you feel his weight. That man will make you feel his wrath. You will be miserable in that house. You'll be miserable in that life. But the minute you just show just a little bit of submissiveness, I'm not saying you become a servant. Neither am I saying you become a doormat for a man. To the contrary. All I'm saying is be a little submissive. Be respectful to those men. And believe me, they say to catch a lot of bees with honey is what? You put the honey out there. As soon as the honey is set out, what do the bees do? They come and sit on their own food. It's the same thing with men. Set the bait out. They just be nice. Be humble. Be sweet. Entice them. Catch him with that sweetness. Kill him with kindness, like we say. And believe me, you'll never be sorry. But the minute you want to start huffing and puffing, my dear sisters out there, they say in our language in Lumber, a woman makes the house. A woman makes the home.
Oh, yeah.
And only a foolish woman breaks her own home. And that is true.
Mm-hmm. Even the Bible says that a wise woman builds her house, but
Amen.
The foolish woman plucks it. With
Amen.
Her hand. I love what you also said. There's something you said last week that you cannot love somebody if you don't love yourself.
Amen. Yes.
And one thing about you, you are so optimistic, so positive, so happy. You know, I remember at the bridal shower, the kitchen party, you know how people came and they didn't confirm. But even when you were correcting, you were doing it so lovingly, with a sense of humor. So I see a very confident woman, a woman who is secure in herself. But you find that so many women are just not confident. They don't know how beautiful they are. They're always comparing themselves. If somebody, you know, say I'm a size 12, I see a size 10, immediately I go into depression thinking, oh, my man's going to go. I mean, so speak to our lovely ladies who are listening.
Ladies, you got to see Auntie Sylvia. Auntie Sylvia is not a size 2. Auntie Sylvia used to be a size 10 for many, 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 many years. But now Auntie Sylvia is a juicy, chunky, lovable mama out there, you know? You know?
Beautiful mama.
A juicy, chunky mama. And I'll repeat it for you all that haven't seen me in a long, long, long time. But here it is. You know, the first thing a woman has to do is to love self. Love thyself. Love me. Look at yourself in the mirror sometimes, okay, and ask yourself a question. Who am I looking at? Michael Jackson says, the man in the mirror, right? This time it should be the woman in the mirror. Look at yourself in the mirror. Prophetess Marker just said, don't compare yourself to somebody. Touche. She's correct. She's right. You know, when God created each of us, he created us in his own image.
Mm.
And that image is always awesome. It's an awesome image. Every woman is beautiful. Every image that God created on this earth is beautiful. They say beauty lies in the eye of the beholder. Yes, to the human being it does, but guess what? If you don't love you first, you cannot love another human being. Just think about it.
Mm.
How can you understand to love somebody else if you don't love you first? How do you define love, first of all? You have to love me first. Appreciate me. I go in that mirror 3 times a day for myself, and I look at myself. I'm like, God created a beautiful human being. God, I'm gorgeous. even when I'm not looking at my best, I still call myself gorgeous. Because if I don't compliment me, then who will?
That's right.
You know, ladies, I think I'm the most beautiful woman in the world. I don't know about you out there now. Come on now. We got to put ourselves out there because nobody else will do it for us. You know, the minute you lose that, the lack of self-confidence, this is where this envy comes in. I want to be like someone. So then anytime you go out with your husband, you're so insecure about yourself. When you see Auntie Sylvia, you're like, oh, my God, he's looking at her. Oh, look at her. She's this. Oh, she's that. She's this. No. The first thing you do before you look at, you leave that house, check yourself out. You look at yourself and you say, good Lord, God made a beautiful human being here. Baby, let's go. Let me go show you off. When you enter that party or whatever you're going to, funeral, or whatever occasion, function you're going to, walk in with your head held up. You know why? Because women who are single are like predators. They are like looking for prey. You know, when they see you sort of uncomfortable, like looking around, searching, and almost turning your husband's face away every time he looks in one direction, guess what? They know you are wet behind the ears, and they will pounce on that man.
Mm-hmm.
But when you go in with that self-confidence and that self-assuredness, like every time I walk into a party, I always come in alone. Everybody asks me, I say, how come you never come with uncle? I said, there's a time for uncle and there's a time for me. There's always me time first. Now, it's got to be me, Francis. I mean, if I don't take care of me, I can't make that man happy.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I have to be happy first. Sylvia has to come first. Then the man comes after me. Because if I'm happy and I'm self-confident and self-assured, then he'll be very happy too. I have seen a lot of you young ladies, when you go to these functions, public functions, where let's say there's sometimes alcohol is involved, sometimes not. You see your husband looking in the direction of, let's say, some hoochie mom or some woman that you know is maybe loose or whatever. You start right there and there to start yelling and accusing that man of sleeping with that person. That's not how you deal with this stuff. You know, our mother, when we were growing up, she spoke to us with her eyes. She never said a word. If you were sitting in the living room and she wanted you to leave, she'd look at you in a certain way and you knew to say, okay, she wants me to leave. And there's a certain way she would look at you where she would be telling you your legs are open, close them because we can see your underwear. Or there'll be another eye which will say, get up and go get tea. Then another eye will say, go get up and go get juice. Now, how we know all those things up till now, honestly, I can't understand. Now, you need to train your husband, your fiancé, your man, your boyfriend, whatever you want to call him, your better half. When you see my face look like this, then you know I'm not happy about what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the minute you start talking, you embarrass that man. And when you embarrass that man, guess what? The man will hit you back so hard, it's going to hurt to where you won't want to come back out in public. Because
yeah.
No man wants to be embarrassed by a woman he calls his woman or his wife, his fiancé, and whatever. Respect that man and honor that man. It doesn't matter who he's looking at. Deal with him when you get home. When you get home, take out all the pans and pots that you can find and, you know, knock the heck out of his head. That's okay. But just don't kill him. But when you're in public, you fall prey to your own devices, because the minute you start doing that to your man, guess what the man does? He starts looking around for a better person than you. And those predators, I told those women, they're always looking in the woods. The minute they see that open place, bam, they'll bounce on that man. Oh, I know she's mean to you. Here's my phone number. Why don't you stop by at the house? Let's talk about it. And guess what? You lost that man. All it took was just that little TLC, just that little split second of your nastiness, your mouth running when it shouldn't have been running. Guess it cost you that relationship.
Mm.
Now, it's very rare that you find, okay, men too do it, where they'll start yelling at the girlfriend or the wife or whatever. Well, I saw you looking at that man, but they do it in a more subtle way than we do. We just, you know, go off tangent and all hell breaks loose and only God knows what happens, how many glasses are left standing on the table thereafter. Now, for a woman like me, ladies, you will never, ever find me putting myself down. Because I'm God's creation. I know I'm beautiful. I told you all I'm the most beautiful woman in the world, and you all need to tell yourselves that. Every time I walk into a room, I need to command that room. People should know I have arrived. People should know I'm in the house. I don't have to talk. I don't have to say anything. Just the way I carry myself.
Yep.
A lot of you women ask me and you say, how come you find it so easy to talk? How come you walk into a room and you're able to just talk from without? You don't even prepare no notes. It's God's grace. It's God's favor. I didn't go to school for this. I told you all. God teaches me things on a day-to-day basis. He gives me the grace. He gives me the thought. He gives me the instinct. Or whatever it is that I need to say doesn't come from me. Sometimes you all come back and you say, oh, Auntie Sylvia told me this and this. And I look at you and I'm like, really? Did I say that? Sometimes you all have to just understand that when God takes over, He takes over. I can give you a message. The message is given in a very subtle way because all of you say I'm a very bold person. Yes, it's true, I am. But sometimes God takes over this mouth. The Holy Spirit takes over this mouth, and he delivers the message his way.
Mm.
And when you come back at me and ask me and say, Auntie Silva, I say this, I look at you like you're crazy. And then you look back at me like I'm crazy and say, Auntie, you did. And I say, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. Okay. We'll go back and forth. Yes, I did. And yes, you didn't. But remember, when you deal with a woman of God, sometimes now it's me talking. I know it's me. If you ask me what I say, I can tell you what I just said. But then there are other times, those of you who discern, you need to discern and understand that when Auntie Silvia sometimes speaks to us, it's because she's been given a word, you know, to share with us.
Right. Auntie, every woman, I mean, whether they're Chinese, Malaysian, British, Swedish, African, Caribbean, every woman, and no matter what age, they love to be loved and noticed. I mean, my two-year-old twin girl, when I'm putting on earrings, she comes and she's like, Mama, put for me. I'll put for her. And it's amazing. She'll go to her dad and her brothers, not to me, to compliment her. I just dress her, but she goes to the friend. Can you imagine at the age of two?
Yes.
And I'm telling you, and then my second-born son is like just her favorite. If he does not like really express and go, oh, Angie, my angel, oh, she throws a fit. I mean, and I'm like, God have mercy, this child. Who does she take after? But so how do we get our men to notice us? You know, because many men will say, oh, but I love you. That's why I married you. But, you know, every woman just, you want to feel like Miss Universe. Can you help the brothers who are on the line? Because I know they are on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, talking about your two-year-old, I have a two-year-old granddaughter. Her name is Ava. Exactly what you say is what she does. When you wake her up in the morning to dress her, she wants to take her own clothes to 2 years old. When she's dressed, the first thing she'll do, she'll run to her father. I look nice. I knew nice. That's how she sees it. And if the father doesn't say yes, she'll scream until he says, you look nice. Then she'll go to the mother and say, I look nice. And mommy says, yeah, you look nice. And her grandma, of course, will say, you look nice. And the whole day, you have to compliment her. When you don't, she cries. This is called seeking. This is called seeking attention. Now, here it is, ladies and gentlemen. You gentlemen out there have to realize one thing. Women are like flowers, like a rose. When you pick some roses, those roses will look beautiful just a certain period of time. Now the scientists have developed that little salt or whatever it is that you put in there that make them live a little bit longer, maybe 2 weeks. But then thereafter they wilt. As a woman, when we're coming out, like let's say, for example, you just talked about somebody who's married. I think I touched a little bit on that last week. The women that get married, okay, I did that once upon a time when I was married, may his soul rest in peace, to my late husband. Where I say, well, I'm already married, so I mean, I don't have to look cute anymore for this man. He already knows what I look like. But you know what? My husband was very quiet, and he politely told me, you know what I miss most? I say, what, honey? He says, I miss most of those mini skirts you used to wear. I went, huh? You used to notice those little mini skirts? I mean, it shocked me. Because he would say I look nice, and, you know, we'll go about our business and stuff like that, and that was the end of it. Now, us women here, when we get married, and especially after we have children, Lord, do we become nasty. Lord, help us. When a woman, I'm serious, we do. We do. And I teach this to my children all the time. Somebody, I remember, used to come to my house and says, every time my kids would come down and say hello to them, they'll be like, where are the kids going? I said, oh, no, they're not going. Well, they're dressed up. Yes, they are, because that's the way they've been raised. They have to look like that 24/7. If you remember back home, even with you, Prophetess Marka, you know Mama never tolerated no nonsense. You had to look like you were going out all the time when you were home, correct?
Yes.
So why are we changing now as we are growing? This is more of a time now when it's like a competition with yourself. When I wake up in the morning, I should feel glammed up. I wake up, the first thing you do, like I said, sometimes don't let precede that man before he wakes up. Let him find you all glammed up and let him, you know, want that breakfast in bed again, even though he had dinner last night at midnight and maybe he had a small cup of tea at 3 a.m. and he woke you up and this is 6 o'clock. Why not give him that breakfast in bed again? But if you're looking all nasty, teeth haven't been brushed, hair is all jacked up with all these weeds that will look, it looks like a chicken who's wet, and, you know, it's all smelling and nasty, and we don't want to take it out, and you're wondering why the man is not in bed? Oh, come on, ladies. The men out there, okay, go out every single day, whether they work or not. Whether they work or not, they see all those little sweet 16s or 20s or 30s or whatever looking all sweet, smelling nice. Their hair is all, you know, even though the weave is stinking, he can't smell it because she's probably a distance away from him. But he's admiring her from a distance because she looks, how do I call it, presentable. She is appetizing, for a better choice of words. When he comes home, he finds you, and I talked about this last week, and I'm going to say it again. He finds you in that nasty gray old T-shirt that you used to wear with your alma mater when you were in college. It's got holes galore. It's probably even got some paint on it. It's got bleach stains. Lord help, it's probably even tattered. You've been sleeping in that thing for almost 2 weeks, and you don't even wash it. And even the sheets on your bed, you don't even change. Lord help you. I don't know if their underwears are changed as regularly as they should. But as a woman, you should change your underwear once or twice a day, because those of you who have your periods and you bleed, you know that you stink when you don't wash yourselves up. That is something that you women have to understand. A man will not come close to a woman that smells like fish. A man wants to come close to a woman that smells sweet, appetizing, delectable, palatable. Keep ourselves clean. That man will always compliment you. Believe me. Believe me, and this, I have heard it from so many of these people I've married off. They'll call me, oh, my husband hasn't complimented me for this and that. Okay, do you do this? No. Do you do that? I said, that's why. If you do A, B, C, and D tomorrow, you'll call me. And for sure. Oh, auntie, I did what you told me. I did my hair. I changed my nails. And I changed the sheets. And I even repainted the wall in the bedroom. And guess what? Now we're having sex 20 times a week. Hello. Those men I told you last week are like five-year-olds. It doesn't take much to please those men. It doesn't. Trust me. Because if you don't make that little bit of an effort, you're going to drop off that bandwagon yourself. You're going to be the one chasing that wagon because your husband's going to be gone with somebody else that is willing to take just that little bit of time to make herself gorgeous, to make herself glamorous, to make herself appealing, to make herself beautiful. She wants to gorgeify herself because she wants to attract your man. Now, if you are not attracting your own man by keeping yourself glammed up, don't blame nobody but yourself. And if that man comes to sugar mama here, grandma, so don't be blaming me. Because I might look good all the time. You see, if you need lessons on how to look good, give me a call and I'll teach you. It doesn't take much. Mm. It does not take much, trust me. The first thing is the body hygiene. Make sure, ladies, at least you take a bath twice a day, morning and evening. Those of you who share a bed with a husband or with a man, twice a day, in the morning when you wake up. Of course, you know you've been making love to that man or you've had sex. You've got sperm in you. Wash it out because it stinks. If you don't wash it out, you smell. You think it's a glamorous thing because you so that everybody knows you had sex. Well, guess what? It's nasty. When you're going to bed at night with that man, smell all sweet. Even if the man doesn't make love to you, but trust me, he will hold you, he will cuddle you, he will spoon you. And even just that cuddling and that holding you, sometimes it's very gratifying, it's very satisfying. But if you smell like fish and you, like I said, for us African Americans and, of course, people of color who wear these weaves, it's all nasty, it's all matted, it's stinking of sweat. Lord help you, it's gelled up so bad you can't even hardly put your finger in it, and you expect that man to be sitting there and saying, I love you, and this and that and the other. You'll be looking for Auntie Sylvia who has the clean weave, the clean body, even though she's a chunky, juicy mama. But guess what? Clean is clean, and clean is sweet. So ladies, glam yourselves up out there. Clean yourselves once in the morning. Clean yourselves up at night in the evening. Keep your men interested. Keep them appetized. In other words, make yourself an appetizer, his appetizer. Every time you pass by him, let him go, look at that, that's all mine. Don't let him snarl up his nose and say, look at her stinking. She didn't even take a bath yesterday. Look at her walking around. She didn't even brush her teeth. And, oh, my God, look at that hair. And, you know, men talk about us ladies with their friends. Do you know that? He will call up his friend in a heartbeat to discuss your nasty stuff. And then you wonder when people come to your house and refuse to eat your food because your man has talked about you and your nastiness and how you keep yourself. I told you last week, when a man walks into your house, there's two things he'll ask you for. One is, may I please use your bathroom? Two is, may I please have a glass of water? he'll go to the bathroom and wash his hands. As soon as he sits down, it's a glass of water. He'll even ask if he can escort you to go get the water. He just wants to see how clean your bathroom is and how clean your kitchen is. Remember that, ladies, your bodies are a temple. Your bodies are sacred. That's God's playing ground. So God's playing ground has to be clean all the time.
Auntie Sylvia, somebody may be asking, and they may be saying, well, you know, now from a lady's point of view, you know, they're keeping themselves clean, brush their teeth, change the weave. But what if it's the guy who's nasty, won't brush his teeth, overweight, big belly? I mean, because I get asked that question all the time. So how do we help the person?
Very good question. Here's our, I mean, this is it's like a double-edged sword. Here's how I put it. I'm a very frank person, okay? And don't take my advice. I'm telling you what I would do as me, as Sylvia. Now, if it works for you, fine. If it doesn't, don't come and quote me and say, Auntie Sylvia told me to do this. Here's how I look at it. If a man can complain that I'm all chunky and juicy and I'm not taking care of myself, you tell him the same thing. Listen, if you don't shape up, I'm starting to look elsewhere. It's just plain and simple because I'm not attracted to you anymore. You're not appetizing to me anymore. Now, if you're not coming up with the truth, he's not going to change. Now, remember again, there are some of these obesities the weight gain because of diabetes, the weight gain because of high blood pressure. Now, you can't be too hard on somebody who's medically challenged like that because it's something they can't help themselves. I know there are diets and there are things that they can do. But you also, as a woman, have to be willing to work with the man. You're the one who's feeding him. You're the one who's making him fat. You're the one who's making him look ugly. You're the one who's giving that pot belly by feeding him with all that greasy food that you're cooking in the house. Start changing the way you cook in your home. Tell that man, listen, I'm tired of you looking sloppy. I'm tired of you looking nasty. You don't take a bath. You don't brush your teeth. You don't do this. You don't wear deodorant. Even your underwear stink like whatever. Only God knows what. The same way they tell us, we got to tell them. We got to tell them. And if they don't change, like I said, you just be very frank and say, listen, I'm not attracted to you anymore in this manner. It's either you change or I'm gone. And I'm not asking you people to walk away from your men because I know how difficult it is these days to keep a relationship, and I know how difficult it is to find a man or a woman that is, you know, that's God's gift. But sometimes idle threats work and other times they don't. Some of them, you tell them, I'm leaving, you'll tell you, you know what, there's a doctor, then go. And what? Then you're going to say, oh, Auntie told me to do that. Each of you know your men.
Yeah.
You know what to push. You know what to say to that man that will make him shake and bake. You know what words to use, or you know what actions, or you know how to react or act. Some of these women say, well, I'm not going to be sexual with him. Well, guess what? If you're not sexual with him, he's going to go get it from somebody else. It always doesn't work like that. You can't hold a man hostage because of sex. Uh-uh. You, each of you, Mama used to say, there's so many ways to skin a cat. Each of us are individuals. You have lived with that man, or you know that man, or you're about to know that man, whichever applies to you. Study this man. See where his weaknesses are. You know the weaknesses. You're the one who beds that man. You're the one who bathes that man when he's sick. You're the one who cooks for that man when you're home. So you need to start setting up some parameters and some ultimatums for this man. Just come one day and say, honey, we're going shopping. I'm buying all these fruits and I'm buying all these vegetables. We're cutting down on meat. It's going to be fish and chicken for the next 1 month. Remember, the woman makes the house.
I like that. The woman makes the house. In case you have just logged on, we are doing part two of Love and Marriage with our special guest, Auntie Sylvia Litana. And she is telling it like it is. And we are learning and growing and being challenged. And at this time, we want to open it up. We want to hear from you, the listeners. Please ask our distinguished speaker. She's a marriage counselor. God's given us such a grace to minister and to help people in this area. So please don't be shy. The floor is now open in the remaining 15 minutes that we have. Ms. Shiko, do we have any callers or any questions from Facebook?
We have a question from Facebook. We don't have any live callers right now with questions. But if you do have a question, we ask you to press 1, and that way you can ask your question. We'll call your number. But last week, I did have a question, but the person asked the question when we were closing the show, and the question they asked is, how can you get a man to marry you?
How can you what?
Get a man to marry you. I think this person must be in a relationship, and it doesn't look like it's marriage, so she's wondering, how can you get him to marry you?
You can't get a man to marry you. Mm-mm. The man has to be ready for you. Here's the mistake we're making as women. First of all, I would have loved to ask this caller or this person a couple of questions before I answered it, because this question can be answered in three ways. Most of us women, when we think or when we do fall in love with a man, the first thing we want to do is move in with a man. That's wrongness number one. Why buy the milk? Why buy the cow if I can get the milk free?
That's right.
I am, if this is me and I have a man, like I told a prophetess the other day, my man has asked me to move in with him, but I've always said, no, you live there and I live here. When I finally say yes for us to get married, then we'll live together, because there's certain things I want to accomplish first for myself. This low self-esteem in women is what's killing us.
Yep.
There comes a point where you become desperate because everybody else is getting married. Uh-uh. God's time is always the best time. You cannot make a man marry you. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Here's my advice to this young lady or this young person. If you're living with that man, you know, my experience, 60% of the time, they don't marry you. You know why? Because already you're doing the duties of a woman that is supposed to be a wife.
Mm.
Already you've given that man the whole enchilada, the whole pizza's gone. All you've left for yourself is a quarter of that slice of pizza.
Mm.
And because the man is already full, what use does he have for you? He's looking elsewhere to get something that's fresh, something that's new, and something that's good. He already knows your bad habits. You know his bad habits. He already knows everything there is to know about you. And there probably are things that he doesn't like about you, or there's some things that you do that he's not happy with, or some things that he expects you to do that you're not doing, and that's why he's not proposing. Like I said, it would have been easier if I did an inquest of questions to this individual for me to answer this properly. But in a nutshell, you can't make a man marry you. When he's good and ready, he'll marry you. But just to help you out, I'll ask him. Or rather, I'll tell him and I'll say, listen, we've been dating for the past X number of years or whatever months or weeks or whatever duration of time you all have been dating. I don't want to just date. If you're not willing to settle down with me, I think it's best we go our separate ways. You have to be bold enough to say that, because it's you. It's your life. It's not anybody else's life. It's your life. Because he's satisfied with you being that quote-unquote chomberanganda, how do you call it, common law, right? Common law wife.
Yeah.
Why does he have to marry you? Because you're already doing everything a woman should be, a wife should be doing for him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You don't make him marry her at all. Uh-uh. She needs to do either some changes, or she needs to start asking him some questions. What is your goal in life? What are you looking for with me?
Mm-hmm.
If she wants, she needs to let him know, if you're not ready to marry me, I'd like to move on. Bottom line it. Gotta be real now.
I like that. You gotta be real.
Yep.
We have a caller. We have a caller. She could find out who it is and what is the question.
Yes, we do. We have a caller. Area code 214. Your last four digits are 7987. You're welcome.
Hi, Prophetess Muka. Hello, Auntie Sylvia. Hi, Mercy.
Hi.
Hi.
Mercy. Oh, wonderful. Okay.
So it's not a question, but I just want to take a moment to commend Auntie Sylvia for what she shared. Because I know, you know, being in Dallas, I know we've had many bridal showers, especially for these young Christian girls. And I know we've really, you know, shared a lot. And it may not have been as explicit as we shared, but it boils down to, you know, you, the woman of the house, and taking care of yourself, and when it comes to sexual, you know, relations, and just be taking care of your body, you know, and making yourself look sexy, loving your body, loving who you are, giving your husband the best. So I just want to commend you for saying that, coming from another, you know, person, a third party, sharing her heart out to encourage and to tell women, hey, guys, ladies, wake up. Come on. you know, look at you. Take a look at good at yourself. And you as the wife and, you know, loving on your husband and taking care of him, you know, his number one thing is sex. And what do you do to do that? So I just want to, it was so on point. I've been putting posts on Facebook saying, oh, my gosh, she's so thankful. You know, somebody, she's so on point for somebody else to say that because they think sex is something so spiritual, which it is. But it's on hush-hush, you know, walking on eggshells or sugarcoating some stuff. But she just came in and broke it. Appreciate you for that. I appreciate you for that.
Thank
you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for listening.
Oh, thank you, Musi. Thank you
so
much.
You're welcome.
Appreciating. I mean, and it's just great to see, again, and I love the both of you because you're both so positive about marriage, positive about relationships. They are good men out there, and they're just like they are good women out there. And relationships do take work and effort, and as you said, keeping ourselves. Even if, like, I've been married for 22 years, but you wouldn't know, honey. I got my high heels. I'm a mother of twins, but hey, I tell you, I drop it like it's hot. Okay,
amen.
So don't fall off your seat. People think I just read the Bible all the time. Well,
oh no. You know. Let me help you out there a little bit, prophetess. I was preaching at a church about 3 weeks ago here in Texas, about 4 weeks ago in Texas, and one thing I was sharing with the congregation was when God created woman, right? He created an Eve first. Eve
mm-hmm.
was Adam's mate. Now
uh-huh.
each of us is an Eve. And the men, of course, I call them Adams. You were first an Eve and an Adam, then you became a wife. From
mm-hmm.
being a wife, you became a mother. From being a mother, you became a corporation. Now, the sequence that I have given you, even when you're doing things in your life, that's how you look at yourself. I'm a woman first. Therefore, hygiene for me is number one. And loving me first is number one. Then,
mm-hmm.
of course, the husband comes in because that's whom I'm living with now. Is my husband, or rather I say I'm living for him, not really like in, literally in the life, but that's the person that matters in my life now.
Mm-hmm.
As a couple, we take care of our children because it's mom and dad, and the most conducive atmosphere, of course, is to have both parents, but sometimes it's not always the case. But whatever parent is there has to take responsibility for the children. Now,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about dropping it like it's hot. Guess what?
Ooh.
That's the right way to do it. Because if you stop, I told you he's going to look for sugar mama Sylvia here, who will drop it like it's hotter. You're laughing.
Oh, Lord God, Miss Sylvia, I tell you.
Yes. You know, there was a question on Facebook. One of the ladies, it's not an accusation, but she made a statement saying that you had asked me a question, prophetess, and I didn't answer the question. I think I probably missed it, but the question was, are men also taught, I think that the question you asked me, are men also taught on how to take care of women? I think something to that effect. I didn't really write the question down, but it's on my Facebook. I should have opened my iPad, and I just wanted to address that. For the lady or the ladies that sent me that question, the answer is yes. We have what we call Vashichimbusa, which is, of course, the reverse of Vanachimbusa, meaning the male male who has wisdom, who will teach and prepare the young man or the groom to be, you know, to become a good husband.
Mm-hmm.
I actually do have a first cousin. I was trying to get a hold of him so I could have him call into this show. Or maybe, prophetess, you can organize another time where I can have him on the show with me so that if they're...
Yeah.
Yes. He also used to, a few years ago, we used to do it where if there was a wedding coming up, I would give him the groom to take care of, you know, teach him, and then I would teach the bride. And this is why we have such a high success rate of these marriages. Even when I match made these 20 couples, I always would send you to these wise men that I call wise men because they've been in marriage for over 20, 30, 40 years, and they're still with their wives. And they're still with their wives. The wisdom that they share with you, I swear, even for me, even if I hear it 20 million times, every time they talk, it's like it's brand new for me. It's a refresher course. And I said the last time, I don't know it all, but there's certain things that I know for sure. If they're done in that way, your marriage will not fail. But women, remember women, we always have to be submissive to a certain point. And again, I'm not saying you're subservient. I'm not saying you're a maid, and I'm not saying you're anybody's servant and anybody's doormat. Uh-uh, don't get me wrong. A quarter of you should be submissive so that that man is 110% satisfied every time he leaves your house.
That's right. I mean, there can only be one leader. You know, in a corporation, there's only one president. In a bank, there's only one, you know, CEO. And so in the home, God has made
There's only one boss, yes. Mm-hmm. That's the man.
Right.
And when he's absent, you are the next boss, you know, taking care of the house. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. But ladies, see yourself as, you know, the man is the head, but we are the neck. And, you know, it is the neck, really, that moves the head. And, you know, depending on how you are, it's a blessing to submit. Submission is not weakness. Submission is actually very powerful. Jesus submits to God, and it's done out of love. But a submissive person is actually a very powerful person. I remember my pastor's wife used to say, submission just means you're the flexible one. So you are actually the powerful one because you are able to adapt and you are able to be flexible. Yes, so let's not see ourselves as weak and, oh, we have to submit. No, we are powerful, but we are flexible and adaptable. I understand we have a call, somebody with a burning question for Auntie Sylvia. Ms. Shiko?
Yes.
Let us know.
Yes, we do. Area code 316. Your last four digits are 5720. You're welcome. Area code 316, last four digits, 5720.
Hello, Mama.
Hello.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Chico. Hello, Auntie Sylvia. This is Jambi. Thank God for everything you're teaching. I missed last time, and I'm grateful for now. I have a question.
Yes.
And, wow. This
Take
is a thin line question. The looking good part and the keeping it modest part, it's becoming a very thin. And how would you help ladies on that? Because and looking sassy and all that, because I've listened to different women of God and from different spiritual, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And in relation to what we have as looking good, how would you help ladies on that?
What is your definition of looking good?
Well, you mentioned clean. You mentioned, you know, up to date. Yes. And pleasing the eye. And what may please one eye may not please another, or maybe if your man means, if the man desires a little more skin, a little, you know, a little showy dressing, even when going out. So how would you, you know, address that?
I'm not sure I understand your question, but let me take it this way. If you're talking about a person who is married, I think I said earlier on, you know your man, okay?
Yes.
Like for me, I'll give you an example of my daughter. I have four daughters.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I have one son-in-law who wants the wife to wear the shortest dress she can find in the closet and show as much skin as she can, okay?
Yes.
Then
yes.
I have another daughter whose husband is like, nah, you're showing too much skin. You know, you've got to close it up a little bit here, but okay, here, this and that. You know, you know your man, correct? Now, you may only have two or three dresses in that closet. All right? I want you to follow me. You may only have one or two underwears in that closet, one or two bras. Let's say three of each, three underwears, three bras, three pairs of shoes, three bags, three of everything, because you can't afford more than that. But if you know how to accessorize yourself, when you step out of that house, you're going to look like $1 million. I told Prophetess Marka last week, I said, everybody assumes I spend a lot of money on clothes, but I don't. But when you see me step out, you're going to assume Auntie Sylvia is always spending $1,000 on a shirt or $1,000 on a shoe. The truth is, I wish I could give you the tags of my clothes so you all see and believe me that I don't. Your man will almost eat you up with his eyes if you look appealing or appetizing to him in the way that you present yourself. It's not all the time that you have to be naked for the man to be appetized by you. I remember one pastor said, it's many, many years ago, I hope I can quote him right, he said, sometimes looking at my naked wife every day makes me lose my desire. Are you listening to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Sometimes looking at my wife's naked body every day makes me lose my sexual desire. But when I see my wife dressed, it leaves a lot to be desired.
Wow.
Because the imagination is imagining what he is not seeing. He's seen it before, but now it's covered.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those women out there who are trying to entice men, okay, let me take it this way. The first address was for the married women. You know your man. You know what appeals to him. You know what tickles his neck. So wear that, dress in that way, entice him. For you young ladies who are out there dressing like, excuse my language, but I take it all the way down, and forgive me if I offend you, but looking like a hoochie mama, huh? Breasts almost out, the only thing that's covered is the nipple. The buttocks are outside because these booty shorts are so high, you can't even see where the path is going, and the legs are almost cut off of blood supply because the thing is so tight. That does not entice a decent man. A man will lust after you, yes, because you're exposing all your genitalia, okay? Mm. You're exposing all those goodies, and only a lustful man that wants to have sex with you is the one that is going to approach you. A man who's looking for a wife will not want to see a woman expose or dispose herself like that by showing everything, all skin and buttocks outside and even in between your legs when you sit, the dress cannot even cover. You have to put your hand there. Now, if you're looking to score, to find that man that God has given you, some of your husbands are still in the workshop. God is still working on them.
Mm.
They always say God's time is the best time. But we're always so much in a hurry. No, because I want to have sex. No, because I want to get married. No, because you wait upon God. Because the minute you start rushing to look for that man, guess what? We all make the wrong choices. And I've been there myself too. But if you're out there decent and exposing yourself in a decent way, guess what? You have all those men that, you know, are going to be looking at you from a distance and say, good Lord, who is that girl? Not when you walk in, it's like, oh, it's that slut. We know that Sylvia. Oh, that's how she dresses. Oh, please, every man goes there. You know, that's just like a toilet. And guess what? You build your own reputation, and at the same time, you ruin your own reputation. So
that's
know
right.
Your man. If you're married, know your man. Know your man's needs. And men, you should know your women's needs as well. Even you women should learn to compliment your husbands. Husbands should not be looking for compliments from outside the house, from the girlfriends. You should always compliment your husband. In the morning, oh, you look nice, honey. I like your tie. I like your shirt. If he's in his boxer shorts, oh, honey, you look sexy. You know what? Even the men like compliments.
Yeah.
It's not only about you women or all about us women. They also like to be made for, oh, you look really handsome. He has a new haircut. Oh, I noticed that haircut. You look real handsome. Oh, I love the cologne. Oh, I love the whatever. So know your man first or know your women. Does that answer your question?
Jackie, are you still there?
We lost her.
This program is only 1 hour. I tell you, the hour goes by so quickly. We appreciate you, Auntie Sylvia, for your wisdom, your straightforwardness, your passion to see healthy relationships and happy marriages. What a blessing you have been for these last two Tuesdays. And you are going to become part of the Solutions family because we want you back. And we'll love you to come back with that cousin of yours, as you said, just to also help the men out there. Because, you know, the beauty about this, we are all learning. No matter how long you've been married, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, or you're preparing for marriage, or believing for marriage, or you're dating or in a relationship, this is excellent, excellent knowledge we have received. So one thing, Auntie Sylvia, in the last minute that we have that you want to leave for the guys and for the ladies.
Yes.
Hello?
Hello? Yes, I'm listening.
Yes, I'm saying one more tip for the ladies and one more tip for the gentlemen that you'd like to leave as we close.
All right. For you gentlemen out there, those of you that are looking for women to marry, or for those women who are looking for men to marry, it's not always easy to find the right partner. But they always say patience is a virtue. And for those men who are out there just lusting after women and using women like rags, you got to stop that, because that woman you're using is somebody's wife. And you women out there that are going there for married men, you need to stop it, because one day you're going to be married yourself.
Yeah.
And you don't want to be sharing your husband with somebody else.
Mm.
So do unto others as you would want them to do unto you. You want somebody who has your back. Flaunting yourself out there and thinking that man is going to leave his wife, guess what? It will never happen. I have been a counselor for almost 30 years now. I've heard men say, oh, yeah, just give me 2 weeks, I'll divorce. So guess what? The divorce goes on and on for years and years and years, and guess what? All you're being done is used, abused, and you have so much mileage on your body sexually that when any other man wants to have you, there's no desire for you for him to have you as a wife, because he knows you're used goods. So men, stop using women unless you're going to marry them. If you're a married man, stick to your wife. Love her, honor her, and cherish her, just like you said your vows when you married her. Those women who are out there dating or wanting to take other people's husbands, you need to stop it, because one day your turn will come, and karma is not a good thing when it comes your way. They say what comes around goes around.
Yeah.
I would like to say thank you very much to all of you listeners for listening to me. For those of you who want to get a hold of me, you can go through Prophetess Marker, and I will be at Prophetess Marker's conference. So those of you who would like to meet me in person, I would love to see you in April, because I will be there.
Wow. That is exciting. Oh, my goodness. Oh, thank you so much, Auntie Sylvia.
Yes, I will be there. So I would like to see all of you ladies. If there are ladies that have questions for me after the conference, during the conference, during recess, during lunch, please feel free to walk up to me. Those of you getting married and you would like to have my services, I will be there. So come on, come on, and let's pray together, and let's rejoice and enjoy the celebration.
We're going to do a little solution special with Auntie Sylvia. We're still like working stuff out, but I heard someone going, I told you this conference is going to be very exciting, very different. And we just want to cater to everybody, and so that by the time Monday comes, everybody has been ministered unto in their relationship, their marriage, their family. It's going to be awesome. Oh, that is the best news I've heard today. Wow. Praise be to God. Thank you.
God be the glory.
Oh, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you, Solutions family. Tune in next Tuesday, 10 p.m., and we'll be letting you know how we're going to fit our beloved Auntie Sylvia into the Fresh Aroma Conference coming up April the 17th to the 20th. God bless you all. Thank you for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Good night. Bye-bye.